You're listening to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Drive what Dan Hampton drives. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com today.
Welcome to the Chicago Football Fantasy Podcast, presented by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. I'm your host, John Solly. I'm the senior digital editor here at ChicagoFootball.com. You can follow me on Twitter at JSolly. Joining us today via the Chevy Trucks Hotline, ChicagoFootball.com writer and USA Today's NFC North correspondent, Arthur Arkish. You can follow him on Twitter at Arthur Arkish. Arthur, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, John. Pretty fired up for some real football. What about you?
We got real games to talk about. I'm excited about that. It's not just training camp speculation. It's not injury speculation, suspension speculation. It's actual real football we get to talk about. I'm excited about this.
It's about time. It is time now to kind of test the fruits of your labors, and hopefully you've been listening to our listeners have been checking out this podcast and all the content on our website, and it's time to put your money where your mouth is now, so to speak.
Yeah, we hope your draft went well, but if you drafted early in the season or even up until a couple of days ago, Tom Brady was a guy we had a lot of questions about. He turns out he's not suspended, just like we called in the first podcast, Arthur. I'd like to say that in the very first podcast we did, we called it Tom Brady would not be suspended any games. We took a very long route to get there, but we were right. What does this do for New England's offense going forward, having Brady back now for the whole season?
Oh, man. Well, it's kind of hard to quantify what this means to the Patriots with all due respect to, local kid Jimmy Garoppolo. Brady is, he's the pulse of that team. And obviously he's year in and year out. He's kind of overcome other deficiencies and put them on their back. So I don't expect this year to be any different. There will be a new cast of characters, as there always seems to be. But as much as anything, this is, I think we learned a few lessons here. First and foremost, do not draft your fantasy teams until the last possible moment. I was in one league where we did have our draft prior to Brady's suspension being nullified. Unfortunately, I wasn't the guy. I guess I shouldn't say fortunately. I should say unfortunately, I wasn't the guy because there was such outstanding value to get there. But beyond that, we learned that Roger Goodell's power only extends so far. So I think everyone's pleased to hear that.
Yeah, and Jimmy Garoppolo was just the loneliest kid on the block last week. I don't know what you do. But if you've got him, that's a free square. You can cut him and go look for somebody else.
Sure. Yeah, no one's been no one's been more durable than Brady, dating back to what I think it's 2008 now, when he missed his one season. So, yeah, you should be locked and loaded, feeling good about what Brady can do. Even though, like I said, there are some concerns with this offense. Brandon LaFell certainly starting the season on pup list is at the top of the list. But I think the fact that we're talking about Brandon LaFell is it kind of in this context just shows you what Brady overcomes every year with what typically is a pretty anonymous cast of characters. You still got Julian Edelman. They'll be a reworked run game, and I expect him to have a chip on his shoulder. That's when Tom has been best over the years.
All right, one prediction from you for Thursday night's game, New England and against Pittsburgh. Does Tom Brady throw for 400, 500, or 6,000 yards?
You know, it's a good segue. I know we're going to talk rankings here in a minute, but yeah, I just think, a former sixth-round pick, and it's kind of the way the Patriots operate overall is with their backs against the wall, they kind of always have this us-against-the-world mentality. So yeah, I think Brady is a very, very strong play Thursday night, as I know we'll get to shortly. And I really like his outlook for the season. It just seems like things are really looking up for New England and Brady now.
And we'll get to rankings in a second. But Arthur, you've been at Hallis Hall. Alshon Jeffrey, a big sigh there. John Fox has been totally coy about any sort of injury status for Jeffrey. What do you do with him just specifically this week?
Whew. Yeah, I mean, I'm not touching him at this point. We haven't seen him practice in almost a month. Like you said, John Fox is going to do as little as possible to help us, and I don't think you can afford to get burned. Now, obviously, they play early, which is going to make it even more problematic for Jeffrey's owners, and I just think it's too big a risk at this point. You're probably going to have to hold off. Obviously, you'll be keeping an eye, an hour before the game on inactives and everything like that. But I don't have a good feeling at all. There really hasn't been any reason to have one, given the way all the other injury situation has slowly trickled out, or not trickled out at all, of Hallis Hall.
Even if he's out there and you see him during warmups, are you playing him?
Yeah, I mean, I guess if he's dressed and active, you may not really have the depth to withstand not playing him. But I don't have a lot of confidence in that at all. I mean, I'd worry about conditioning. I'd worry about, I don't worry as much about the Packers defense, actually. But, he's going to have to reestablish a chemistry with Jay Cutler, too, that looks so good for so long, but now they haven't had a chance to work on in a month. So if he's out there, I suppose you roll with him. Certainly you have to have expectations, maybe a WR3, I suppose, with upside. But, not the start he's looking for in a contract year, suffice to say.
All right, let's get into a little bit of rankings. Arthur, your top three quarterbacks this week, who do you got?
Well, I'm starting with Tom Brady, and it's not only because of everything that, he's overcome this offseason. It's also because the Pittsburgh Steelers secondary, I believe, is going to be really, really bad. Obviously, they're moving on from a couple stalwarts there. Troy Polamalu lost some corners as well, and I don't know if they're going to have the pass rush to get after Brady, in which case I think it's kind of going to be open season. And in a week where I think some of the other guys you may push up a little bit, I worry about a guy like Andrew Luck. He doesn't crack my top three. I do push Brady up a little bit. I've got Aaron Rodgers number two going against the Bears. We know what he's done against them historically. I'm not as worried about the history he's had recently against Vic Fangio. That was in San Francisco with a lot more talent to work with. And then my number three quarterback this week actually is Tony Romo. I really think the Giants secondary is another one that's going to be a major problem. And I believe that Romo's Cowboys and Eli's Giants have the highest over-under of the week. So I feel comfortable throwing him in there in the third slot.
Yeah, I'm with you on most of that. I've got Brady number one and Rodgers number two. I've actually got Sam Bradford number three. It's in the highest.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah, I know. Never thought I'd say that. But he is in the highest over-under game. Atlanta's defense isn't exactly anything to write home about. It's a primetime game, and Bradford has looked outstanding. I see no reason why he can't put up a gigantic game against a defense that last year was terrible.
No, you're on to something. I think he's a guy certainly I've been targeting in drafts, and it's impossible to ignore what he's done. And I guess the way you can look at it with Bradford is, the injury is likely coming. I hate to say that, but obviously early in the season when he is at 100% is when you want to try and get the most out of him. So, I'm drinking the Bradford Kool-Aid too. I just think I've got him a few slots lower than you do.
Yeah, and the injury might be coming, but he does not play 16 games in this 1 week. So I'll take
it.
Him week yep. one. And he's my number one DFS quarterback this week with Matt Ryan second and Tyrod Taylor number three in DFS. He's just for the value, the minimum salary. He's going to run. I don't trust that LeSean McCoy is healthy. So I think Taylor eats into the rushing yards. I think he's a good value play in DFS, but I've got Bradford 1 and Ryan 2 because I think that game is just going to shoot out.
I like it. I'm excited. I'm really excited to see what Tyrod Taylor can do. Obviously, sat behind Joe Flacco. That's a place where you don't get a lot of looks as a backup. And he's intriguing, particularly this week. I'll believe that the Indianapolis defense can stop someone on the ground after I see him do it. So until then, you roll out all those high volume running backs and quarterbacks, and Taylor certainly will fit that mold Sunday.
All right, top three running backs this week, Arthur.
Yeah, I like Eddie Lacy because I do believe that early in the season they will lean on him even more, obviously with Jordy Nelson out. And I just the Bears,
that's all you need to say.
obviously, Jeremiah Ratliff suspended. I like Eddie Goldman a lot, but his inexperience will show, I believe, early. And then Shea McClellan and Christian Jones. I like Christian Jones a lot, too, but I have some major concerns about the Bears right up the middle of that defense. I think Lacy's going to have a big, big day. Two and three, I've got Adrian Peterson going into San Francisco. Historically a place where you wouldn't, ratchet up these running backs rankings when they're battling the 49ers, but we all know what's happened there in the offseason. And then sticking in the same matchup from the first game, I do like Matt Forte on the other side of the coin as well. We've seen it all offseason. They are going to feature the run game, and I have some concerns about what's going to happen along that offensive line, but I also have some concerns about what the Packers are going to do run defense-wise, so Forte looks like a strong play as well.
Yeah, we're pretty much in agreement on top two. I've actually got Lacy just ahead of Peterson, but I think it's a coin flip. Number three for me is Jeremy Hill against Oakland. I don't trust the Raiders defense. I think Jeremy Hill is going to eat and maybe get 20-25 touches against Oakland.
Yeah, he looked great in the preseason too. And, you know, Hugh Jackson's going to have a little extra incentive to go back to Oakland and stick it to the Raiders, who had the worst defense in football last year, arguably the worst defense in football. So, yeah, I've got no qualms there. Jeremy Hill's another guy I've been trying to target in as many leagues as possible.
One DFS running back to throw out for you, Chris Ivory of the Jets. I think he's 4,100 on DraftKings and a great price on FanDuel too. I think he's going to get carries.
Yeah, that's an interesting matchup. You're certainly not going to want to lean on the quarterbacks when you're talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick and Josh McCown. So, Ivory finds himself in a pretty good situation. There's not a lot of guys there to eat into his carry. So it makes a lot of sense to me as well.
All right, top three wide receivers.
Yeah, I'm starting with Dez, going back to that, what I expect to be a firework display in the NFC East primetime game. I don't believe the Giants have anyone who's going to be able to stop him. I already told you how I feel about Romo. So I've got Dez up at the top. Julio Jones at number two. I do like what Chip Kelly has done with that defense this year, but I think it's going to take time. I think they're going to have three new starters out there in the secondary. So another situation. I hope Julio stays healthy all season because I think he can do some special things. But if he doesn't, you got to roll him out there while he is, obviously. Rounding out the top three, I've got Antonio Brown. Obviously, no Le'Veon Bell, Hurts, and we'll see. I just suspect, as I said earlier, that the Steelers are going to have to throw a lot because the Patriots are going to come out on fire. And Antonio Brown, obviously, always a strong play against another secondary with all kinds of new faces in it.
Yeah, we're in agreement on Julio at number two. I've got Dez three and Odell Beckham at number one. I think he's just going to get targeted like crazy if Victor Cruz is hurt, especially.
Sure, yeah. There's not a lot to not like about Odell's, obviously, you know, his rookie debut last year, and that's another defense after losing Orlando Scandrick and not feeling good about Morris Claiborne, some of the other options. That's the reason there's going to be so many points in that game.
All right, tight ends, Arthur, what do you got?
Yeah, I kind of got to stay pretty chalk here. Not a lot really jumps out at me out of the norm. Rob Gronkowski, as I suspect he's going to be as long as he's healthy all season long, is at the top. Jimmy Graham, I've told you I've got a little bit greater concern about, but that Rams defense is loaded, but it's young and it's not exactly the most experienced. So I think they could have some trouble covering Graham, and I'm sure the Seahawks are going to be anxious to kind of dust off their new shiny weapon. And actually, I guess I will go in a little bit of a different direction. I'm going to put Martellus Bennett up a few slots. I know a lot of people would probably have a Travis Kelce or a Greg Olsen in here, but just getting a chance to watch firsthand what Marty's done through this offseason, I'm convinced that a huge breakout is coming, and he always gets up for the Packers. They've got some turnover with their inside linebackers. I'm not quite sure how they're going to cover him.
Well, it's the first show of the start of the season here, and we're in agreement on tight ends. 1, 2, 3. I'm with you on all of it. Defense and special teams, top three.
Yeah, you caught me off guard here. Defense, I'm going to go. Let me see here.
I'll give you my three. I've got Dolphins 1, Jets 2, Seattle 3. I love the matchups are too great for all three of them.
Okay, excellent. I'm gonna start with Seattle because why can you really ever go wrong starting with Seattle? I think Houston is interesting this week. The Chiefs are, like the Bears, are kind of tinkering with their offensive line at the last second. That's never good when J.J. Watt's going to be out there, Jadeveon Clowney, whether he's on a pitch count or not. And then the Buffalo Bills, another defense that I'm obviously very excited about. This week they go up against an explosive offense, I understand. But I think they do have a chance to kind of feast on Andrew Luck's lack of protection. And they might let up some points, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a bunch of sacks there as well.
All right, it is our pleasure to bring in our guest. He is Joe Ostrowski, executive producer and host of 670 The Score's fantasy radio show. Every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 p.m., you can follow him on Twitter at JoeO670. Joe, how you doing today?
Guys, we're just 2 days away from some real football. It feels like it's been forever. I'm ready.
It's about time. First, tell us about the Sunday radio show, what you're doing, and what you hope to accomplish with that.
Yeah, it's going to be a little different. In the past, we've had shows on podcasts and via stream, fantasy-wise, on 670 The Score. But we decided to go with a live show before Hub's pregame show, which starts at 9 a.m. every Sunday morning. So it's going to be fun. The different twist we want to take is instead of, you know, just lining callers up and talk about their issues with their lineups, we're going to stay a little bit away from that and be more content driven. And we're going to split it up between season long fantasy and daily because you guys can't turn on the TV for 10 minutes without seeing something with daily fantasy. And the boom is here. I mean, there's now 57 million people that play fantasy sports.
Yeah, and it's we're totally in agreement. That's why we started our podcast here. I want to talk with you about process and what you go through for a typical week. So if you could just sort of run us through what your process is like for your research, your rankings, and ultimately selecting your team in season-long and DFS for just a typical week? I know that's a lot, but if you could just break that down for us.
Yeah, sure. It is a lot. And I think, there just seems to be a lack of information as far as DFS. Like, I started a year ago, even though it feels like I've been doing this for 5 years in the daily fantasy space. And I was like, man, I was thinking earlier today, like, how dumb was I a year ago? Some of the lineups, I was actually making some money some weeks, but just my entire process was just so off. I just didn't really have a clue. And there's going to be a lot of new players out there. I think a lot of people understand about the season-long process, and you're limited. Like, you know your players. As soon as the draft was over in your season-long leagues, pretty much everybody knew what their starting lineup in week one was going to be. But it's a lot different with DFS when you get to choose from the entire league. Just rolling through it a little bit, you have to start with Vegas, and you can do that right now. You don't have to wait for these final injury reports and all that stuff. You could have started months ago, actually, with the Vegas process. And you take a look at the totals, and you also take some lines that maybe you don't expect, like maybe a game that you would potentially fade. Like, hey, I think that team should be a much bigger favorite. What does Vegas know that I don't know? And also keeping the theme with Vegas, it's important to take a look on Sunday morning on sites like Bovada, because on Sunday mornings is when they post stuff like the player props, guys most likely to score touchdowns according to Vegas. And I saw last week on Bovada that now they're going to have props, and it looks like every week on, okay, which quarterback is going to score the most fantasy points? So now we crossed over into that. And then I go into the picking up games. Game selection, I think, is very underrated. It really is. Like, everybody wants to win $1 million, right? I think that's a big reason a lot of us play. But you have to follow the rule of thumb if you want to be in this for the long haul. And what that is it's 80-20-10. John, I'm sure you know all about that.
Mm-hmm.
Where you take a look at playing 80% of your money going in on cash games, meaning head-to-head matchups, 50-50s. Some people consider triple ups cash games as well. And 20% of your money in the GPPs, you know, the ones where you can win $1 million or qualifiers. And then you play 10 to 20% of your bankroll. I'm going to lean 20% because that's the kind of player I am, because I'm crazy. Maybe, you know, and then Sunday morning is going to end up being more. I just know that. But because we also only have 17 weeks, I learned last year that maybe I shouldn't play as much in the playoffs. But it's a learning process. And as far as those cash games go, it really seems like head-to-heads is the way to go over 50-50s. And I've done mostly 50-50s in my time. But you hear some of these experts talk, like Peter Jennings, who is CSU Ram, and he was hired by ESPN recently. And you see so many new players out there, millions of new players coming up this week. And here's an opportunity for you to take advantage. There aren't many fish in sports like NBA, Major League Baseball, but there are, because everybody's in the NFL. So that's just some of my process. It really starts with Vegas. And then as the week goes on, I start figuring out my player pool and take a look at some of the other stats out there that you'll find on Football Outsiders and Pro Football Focus.
And Joe, I'm really glad you brought up bankroll management, because that is a really tough thing for a new DFS player to manage. Because if you say you've got, you know, $50 you want to put aside, and you put in a lineup maybe in the Millionaire Maker because you get a little crazy and, oh, I've got another lineup here, I've got another lineup there. How tough was that for you when you were first starting out with DFS?
Very difficult. And it took a while, and I pushed against it. Well, you know, I know what I'm doing. Maybe I can be that guy in the commercial. Maybe I can have the big check over my head.
I want the big check.
Who doesn't? That's the dream, right? That's all part of it. I mean, yeah. It's entertainment. It's fun. But we all want to be in those commercials, or we all want to say we won four, five, six, maybe even seven figures one day. Yeah, that is very difficult, because to get into these million-dollar contests, it costs you $20, $25 to get in. And something that I would suggest is take a look at qualifiers or satellites, however they're listed on your favorite site. If you're a decent player, you should be able to win some of those and work your way into those. And then all of a sudden, you're not spending all this money on these GPPs. Like, I was playing baseball a little bit earlier on in the year before I quit on baseball, because it's just all sharks right now. It's very
it really is.
And I really just needed a mental break away from DFS. And people will learn that if you play a sport that's every day, you do need a little bit of that. But before I quit baseball, I won 4 satellites for the week 1 Millionaire Maker, so I feel pretty good about that. Maybe I'll buy a few more, but as far as bankroll management, that'll work for me in the first week when there's a $2 million prize and it's so enticing to buy a few extra lineups.
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll roll right into week 1 then. Who do you like? Who are you off of?
And, you know, about the process, we talked a little bit about this, playing cash and GPP games. And it's so different. It's like every position you talk about, well, this guy I like for cash and this guy I like for GPPs, because you're looking for profiles of very different players. In cash, for those that haven't played DFS, don't know too much about it. In cash games, you're looking for those really safe plays, looking for guys that have high floors. Who's a receiver that is going to get a ton of targets, right? Who's a quarterback who I know is going to hit their value. And in those tournaments, you're looking for those high ceiling guys, guys like maybe DeSean Jackson from time to time, even though you don't like to play him every week. Once in a while, he goes off.
He's a high variance player, that's for sure.
High variance, yes, exactly what you're looking for in those GPPs. And as far as quarterback, I find it interesting. We go back to Vegas a little bit. The high totals, we have 4 games where there are totals of 50 or higher. So you're talking about 8 quarterbacks potentially there. The high total games, well, one of them's a Thursday night game. So if you're playing the Millionaire Maker, you throw that one out because that's not going to count. But the very expensive quarterbacks are not in these games. Andrew Luck does not have a total of 50 or higher. The highest total of the week is Philadelphia Atlanta at 56.5 right now. So you're looking at Matt Ryan and Sam Bradford, and their prices aren't bad. They're not priced with the elite guys. And then if you look at pace of play, a stat that I like to take a look at every week, last year, number 1 pace of play, Philadelphia Eagles, okay? And number 2 was a Philadelphia Eagles opponent every single week. And so you're taking a look at Matt Ryan there. So those are a couple quarterbacks that I really like. I also like Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer, first month of the season, a very soft schedule, including week 1 against New Orleans. And if I want to go value, and I'm more likely to go value on FanDuel, where it's easier to have your quarterback reach their value, a low-priced guy, I'm looking at Tyrod Taylor against Indianapolis, and they're probably going to be chasing throughout, even though it is Greg Roman's offense.
Joe, we were talking previously with Arthur, and Arthur, who did I have as my top 3 in DFS this week? Bradford, Ryan, and Tyrod Taylor.
Uh-oh.
Sure enough, yeah, it seems like you guys are both capitalizing, and I wanted to ask Joe about this. Is this an instance with both Bradford and Tyrod? I know John and I have talked about this, of the prices being set months ago before we really knew exactly what was in store for these guys, because that would seem like an opportunity to be able to capitalize as well.
Yeah, that's exactly what happens, and they're in this cat and mouse game. Well, we're going to announce a $5 million tournament on week 1, and they've got to get it out in advance because you have so many players. And then 1 week after FanDuel did that, well, we're going to have a $10 million contest, and first prize is going to get $2 million, not $1 million, so we're twice as good. Yeah, that's exactly what happened, and that's the risk they take a little bit, and we're going to hit on that certainly at the receiver position in the Bears' opponent with the Packers. We know that in week 2, Davante Adams is not going to be the price that he is this week. So it's very difficult in all types of games that you play not to have him at receiver.
And I will throw this out here because I'm writing a column later this week for ChicagoFootball.com for our fantasy stuff, and it's exclusively focusing on the big contest, the Sunday Million, $5 million contest on FanDuel, and the Millionaire Maker contest on DraftKings. One, I'm leaving at least $500 on the table for my salary because I want a unique lineup. It's really hard to go against your bias because you've got a $50,000 salary cap or a $60,000 salary cap. Why not use it all? I want to build the best roster possible. These prices are what they are. I need to fill out everything I've got. I want a unique lineup. What's the fun in winning $2 million if you want to split it with 135 other people? I don't want to do that. And the second is I'm probably off Davante Adams because I think he is going to be maybe the highest owned guy because he's going up against a weak Bears defense and his price is so enticing. He's all over my cash game lineups. I'm not using him in the Millionaire Maker. Joe, am I crazy?
A couple of great points. First, with the unique lineup, I was doing that exact same thing over the summer when DraftKings had their Millionaire Makers for the golf, where I just was trying to leave a certain amount of money. I mean, we know that, 95%, 98% of the players out there are going to try to use every dollar or get as close as they possibly can. They only have $100 to $200 left. Now, if you remember the pricing from last football season, it's pretty easy to leave a lot of money out there.
Especially this week.
Yeah, with all the soft pricing that's out there, and if DraftKings continues to do these millionaire contests every week, I think that is very important. That's a great point, John. You really want a unique lineup. Being off Davante Adams, that was my first thought. And then as I get closer and closer to Sunday, I'm like, God, the price is so low. It's a perfect setup. Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback. He's now the number two option at receiver for Aaron Rodgers. And, of course, it's the Bears' defense.
It's so hard to resist.
It's so hard to resist. And the key there, with that value, it just opens so many things up. See, and this is the issue here with this question about, do you fade Davante Adams? Will more people fade him because James Jones is now going to the Packers? Is that a possibility? So where everybody thinks he's going to be so highly owned, and then a bunch of people end up fading him, and then his ownership is much lower than anybody ever thought. So sometimes you just have to put in the right play, and we outthink ourselves. And we think, in every player that I start, I want a low-owned guy. I think when you're making your core, this is just my process. When I'm making my core, I don't mind having some safe guys. Like if you go back, Drew Dinkmeyer of DailyRoto.com, when he won $1 million last year, if you look at his lineup, he had a bunch of guys that were owned in the 20 to 30% range.
There was plenty of chalk.
Yeah, very chalky.
But then I think he had Marquise Wilson at the end?
But you know what? Yeah. That was a chalky play that week because he was bare minimum.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah. I want to go back to something you just said, Arthur, because you are USA Today's NFC North correspondent. Is James Jones, is he scaring anybody? Is he taking snaps away from anybody?
Well, I think when they're in their two wide receiver package, you'll still see Davante Adams outside. But I think that James Jones' familiarity with Aaron Rodgers certainly is going to be, you know, a little bit of a concern here, just because he can kind of come right in. It's not very often you can get a guy off the street after September 1st and be prepared to plug him in right away. And frankly, I feel that James Jones and Davante Adams are kind of similar players. Neither one of them are going to blow the top off a defense, but they both can give you a little bit after the catch, and they both should be pretty reliable all over the field. So, you know, I still do believe Adams is going to be the number two target there, but I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little more apprehensive about Adams's, you know, outlook for the season prior to Jones coming in. So that's my take. I don't know if you guys differentiate from that.
Hey, you're the expert on the NFC North. I am not an expert here on that. So I'm listening to you on that and just following your lead. Joe, just a couple questions here before we let you go. Who is one guy that you're really on this week in DFS, and maybe one guy that you're fading?
Well, we talked about the quarterbacks, and as long as we're talking Bears, Packers, man, I feel like I'm just going to completely stack the game in a tournament for both teams here. But we're talking about Davante Adams, and a lot of these new players that want to win $1 million are going to be all about Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers is going to throw 5 touchdowns at 350 yards, right? And I think the forgotten guy here is Eddie Lacy. And with that running back position, I like to take guys that are a heavy favorite, that come the fourth quarter, they're going to get the ball a bunch and really just kill that clock, and as they try to end that game quicker. And he's a three down back. So I really like Eddie Lacy, and I think he's a guy people are not talking about. At tight end, it's an interesting week because you're not going to have Rob Gronkowski to use, because a lot of weeks we're going to say, well, it's Gronk or I'm just going cheap. Well, if you don't want to go cheap, and especially in cash games, you're looking at a guy that's very high volume. I'm going to take a look at Greg Olsen here, and that's throughout the year. And then we heard the news that Funchess will not be starting. And, of course, we have the torn ACL with Kelvin Benjamin. So who is Cam Newton throwing to?
Got to throw to somebody.
Yes, he has to. And I just keep coming back to Greg Olsen. And his price isn't cheap, but I like him. I also like Martellus Bennett. He's a little cheaper. We know how much Gase used the tight end in that offense. You don't have Kevin White as an option. Bears are going to be trailing most likely. I do like Martellus Bennett there. As far as high price fades, I'm not playing Andrew Luck anywhere. I'm not. At Buffalo, no thanks.
Joe, this is scary. We've got the same three top tight ends, and I'm fading Luck, too. I feel like I have to change something up now.
Oh, man. What? I mean, okay, I'll fade Arian Foster. How about
that? All right. Well, yeah, I'll do that, too. All right. Darn it. His name is Joe Ostrowski. You can follow him on Twitter at Joe0670. He is the host of the Scores Fantasy Radio Show from 8 to 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Joe, thank you very much for joining us.
Guys, enjoyed it. Hope to do it again.
That'll do it for our show today. Don't forget to get all the best fantasy football news at chicagofootball.com from our fantasy experts and listen to our podcast each week as we get you prepared for your drafts and help you win throughout the season. We'd also like to remind you that our podcast is available on iTunes, so please head over there and subscribe and never miss an episode. We want to thank our sponsor, your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Heavy-duty demands have met their match with the high-strength steel Silverado HD. Drive with Dan Hampton Drives and visit ChevyDrivesChicago.com today. Big thanks to Arthur Arkish and Joe Ostrowski for being guests on today's show. Our producer today was Jason Frommer. I'm John Solly. For all of us at Chicago Football, hope you have a great week, and we will catch you next time.